Welcome to episode number 347 of the Family Podcast Network. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the strong-willed child and how I think the strong-willed child mentality is wrong. That's right, today we're going to talk about how our strong-willed children are in fact tough. However, they are not the thing to be despised and looked against and harshly beaten into submission like a lot of folks out there suggest. Stay tuned for that and more.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent. There is always something we can do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is December the 22nd, 2014. We are so close to Christmas. I bet most of us can taste the eggnog or whatever else that you prefer to sample on your Christmas day. That's right, we are getting so very close to enjoying a little bit of Christmas time. Our topic for today is going to be the strong-willed wrong. That's right. We're going to talk a little bit today about how there is a popular author who's been around for years, a lot longer than I have talking about this stuff, who's written several books about the strong-willed child. And I've read the book. I do not like the book. And I'm not saying there's not some good things to learn within there. I just don't like it for the most part. And I find a lot of its stuff to be very negative against the strong-willed child and very harsh and abrupt in teaching these kiddos to fall into line. And I do not like that. I think we should teach our kids to respect everybody, but they shouldn't follow us. Anyway, we'll get into that here in just a little bit. Before we do that, some quick housekeeping. If you guys want to get notified of any of the new episodes that come out here at the Family Podcast, go to thefamilypodcast.com. Click on the Contact Us page. A lot of ways you can do that. You can leave a video message. You can also leave an audio message for us that we can download and put on the show for you. You can call us if you're on your phone, 661-PARENT-0. Again, that number is 661-PARENT and the number 0. That won't go straight to an automatic, like you're on the show with Trey. It'll allow you to leave a voicemail. So have your question ready. Ask your question. Leave it on there. We'll see about putting it on the show. You can also email us at treygibson@thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. Let us know your question. Send us the article you want us to cover. Somebody you want us to get on the show. Not a problem. I'm trimming down who I'm contacting to come on the show, and we're kind of leaving it open now to those who want to come on the show. The reason for that is, for those of you guys who have sent in submissions to have people on that we could reach out and contact, I've never had good experiences with that. Anytime that I've gone and sought out people to be on the show, they'll cash out, they'll not show up, they won't log on when they're supposed to, or they just overarchingly ignore me. And so I've just found those, the folks that seek me out and want to be on the show are better for me, and subsequently it makes it ridiculously better show for you guys. And so anyway, I try to avoid those when I can. If you have any questions, comments, thoughts, topics you want to get on here, don't forget to reach out to us on those areas we talked about. We're working on getting the SpeakPipe app put back up. It's not very compatible with this new theme, so I'm not pushing it real hard. We'll try to get that back up there and code it in if we can, but if not, we may be going without that. All right, guys. Also, don't forget, if you want to join the show, if you want to support this show, if you want to partner up with us on helping us push this message on taking our parenting to that next level, consider becoming a PTACker. You can go to thefamilypodcast.com, click on the Become a Member or a PTACker, and it'll take you to a page that you can become a member. We're still working on getting the code worked out, but you can click on the $5 per month button. When you do that, it'll sign you up through PayPal. It'll pay directly out for you, and you can cancel that at any time. Whenever you do that, you also get access to stuff that is available only to our PTAC members. All right, guys, with all of the housekeeping out of the way today, let's go ahead and jump into our topic for today, which is going to be the strong-willed wrong. That's right. We're going to talk about how I think the mentality that was created by Dr. James Dobson of the strong-willed child is just not completely accurate. We're going to spend a little time defining what a strong-willed child is here in just a minute. Basically, the approach to this is a strong-willed child is often the one who gets labeled as like the stubborn child. Difficult is often the word that they use. They're the ones that just don't seem to give a crap. It's kind of the mentality that is taken towards them, and it seems like they'll get into stuff and you'll come in and do the traditional techniques to discipline, and they seem to resist it and push back against, even starting at very young ages. And we're not going to define strong-willed children that way. I do not agree with seeing a strong-willed child as a negative thing. We here, I personally believe that they are some of the greatest gifts that we can get. We'll say, well, Trey, they're such a pain in the butt. They're difficult. In reality, our struggle and difficulty with them is not the actual kid themselves. It's our own crap. I mean, it's our own mess that comes into play that creates the problems. And when we can get around seeing strong-willed children as difficult or stubborn, we can begin to see their attributes for what they are as very positive. And guys, I'm not living in a fairy tale land here. They can present issues for us that are unlike any of what we've ever experienced with other kids, and I get that. And I'm not trying to ignore those things, but when we look at them as problems, as difficult, stubborn, whatever else, when we see them as problems, we have a tendency to invite more of the junk out of them in these behaviors than we actually try to prevent. And so what I want to talk today, when we talk about strong-willed children, I want to start seeing these kiddos as strong children. These are our kids that are not easily swayed. These are the kids that learn for themselves. And I want to start adjusting the mentality that we have towards these kids to start seeing them as wonderful, wonderful kids. These are the kids that stick to their convictions unlike any other will do. They're the ones that challenge everything. I'm talking everything. If you tell them that the sky is blue, they want to challenge you. And these kids are the kids that can drive us bonkers because we want them to take our word. But the reality is they do not come hardwired to think that way. They challenge everything. And in a world that is so easy to base popular opinion off of falsehoods, what a wonderful thing to have. I mean, I just a few weeks ago, there was a thing called like the Daily Conservative, or no, it wasn't conservative. It was the World Daily News Report or something like that, .com. And they put this article out. I love a good conspiracy theory. And they put an article about how there's proof now to prove that we're really not on Mars and we're taking fake pictures and sending those for a Cold War. And I fell for it. And it says on its own site that it's a satirical news site. Right. And so ever since then, I've been a cognizant of that. And so I'll see another of my friends post up one about, you know, a new religious find, or how they found, you know, pieces of an army in the Dead Sea where they, you know, where Moses crossed and all that other stuff. And it was totally fake. And they just create these things. And so we live in a world where people kind of get their jollies off of deceiving and tricking people. So these people that come in and say, prove it, show me, I need more proof. I'm going to test this. Show me. I don't believe you. These are the people that we need in this world because they teach and remind me to be a very certain way. And so why do I not enjoy the way Dr. James Dobson, for instance, portrays the strong-willed child? It is mostly because his opinion is that we need to exert our authority over these kids because we're teaching them how to deal with their, you know, the authority issues that they could have later in life. And I'm pulling this directly out of his book, The Strong-Willed Child. He says, by learning to yield to the loving authority of his parents, a child learns to submit to other forms of authority which confront him later in his life, his teachers, school principal, police, neighbors, and employers. All I hear out of this is a powder puff way to say we break our kids' natural desire to resist other people and tell them that they need to conform so that way they'll do it with other people. You know, the reality is I don't want my kids submitting to anyone but what they believe is right and wrong. So I have a problem with this. And I want you to hear me say, Dr. Dobson's book is not a piece of junk book that I tell nobody to not go read. There's some good suggestions in that for when we do have our kids. And he really does throw out some stuff that's worth reading. I would just encourage you to read it with a half-squinted eye. You know, read it in a form of skepticism that you're willing to take and reconcile against what you already know works for you, for your kids and your family, and reconcile it against those things and look for those things that just make you, you know, set your spidey senses off. You know, look for those things. But this is one of his comments that I completely disagree with when it comes to working with strong-willed children. I don't think that making our kids to submit to our authority helps them later in life. So, I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen that. I distrust the media about as much as I distrust politicians right now. Let me phrase that. American mainstream media. I distrust them. And yes, Fox News as well. I feel like they've got an agenda just like CNN and all these other guys do. And so with that said, I distrust most of what I hear. So I subscribe to a lot of publications outside of America because I've found that in most cases when they report on things in America, it's some of the more accurate information I can find. And or they actually report on things that other people don't. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, if y'all don't do that, there's places like DailyMail.UK and some of the Jewish publications that I love that report on some of the stuff that's happening. And there is a huge influx. And it's not just in the U.S. It's in Britain and in Australia and everywhere else. But there's just an increase in the amount of teachers that are having sex with their students. Now, now we're bumping into personal moral belief systems here that I'm going to try to avoid that, but just say that there are things that are going on in schools that if I teach and train my kid to obey authority, it can put them in compromising situations like these situations. And you see, that's not what I want. There are plenty of people in positions of authority that are doing the wrong thing. And if we teach our kids to obey no matter what, that is a problem. We talk here quite frequently that if you take a look at the time of Germany during the Weimar Republic up until Nazi Germany, the predominant parenting style was complete and total deference to the authority of the patriarch, typically the parent, the dad in the mom and dad relationship. You submitted to your parents no matter what. Well, can you see how that set many of the kids that grew up in pre-Nazism? It set them up to be obedient to one Führer? I mean, I'm not trying to go crazy with, but the mentality is still the same. And so if we don't, these strong-willed kids are so necessary in our society because in a lot of ways they keep us more honest than anybody else does. Because they test us, they try us. They don't just take our word because we said something. They want to know why. So the reality is that when our kids are an issue, whenever these kids that seem difficult and stubborn are out there, we need to learn to embrace them. We need to learn to appreciate them for what they do and what they provide. That doesn't mean that we don't need to teach them how to use their skill set wisely. They don't want to run around being hurtful or mean about what they do, but they need to use that to the fullest. In some cases, they do need to hurt people's feelings. When people are spreading falsities, they do need to be confrontational. Now, we need to teach them the way to do that so that they'll be most effective. So that people will say, well, I mean, yeah, but Trey, I mean, we have all these problems with them, and I tell them to do these things, and they don't do them, and they push back against, and Trey, they're just so dadgum difficult. You see, the reality is that most everybody blames the strong-willed child for how they create these problems in the home. And I'm here to tell you guys, the issue that mostly turns in with these kiddos that parents come and report to me, it's not about how the kids are difficult or stubborn. It's a power struggle. They've turned it into a power struggle. They've used to their other kids, who often you tell them to do something and they submit immediately without questioning. These kids do not do that. And they turn it into this power struggle with their kids, and they wrestle, and they flop, and they flip, and they push, and the kid does nothing but push back, and it irritates the parents to no end. We cannot allow ourselves to move to the power struggle with our kids. You got to remember that any argument is a two-way street. Any argument is a two-way street. There's an old saying that says you don't have to attend every argument that you're invited into. That is a wise and very prudent piece of information right there. You do not have to attend every single power struggle that you're invited to. And they may try to invite you to a lot of them. But we have to use that as an opportunity to take control of our behaviors, accept the responsibility for our emotions in these places, and not push back against our kids. See, here's the fundamental thing that most parents bump into. Strong-willed kids figure out one amazingly beautiful concept. And listen here, this is it. You cannot control me. And oh man, it just drives parents batty in some cases. Because up until this point, it's fairly easy to control our kids' behaviors through the way we treat them or the discipline that we say we're going to use or whatever we say is going to happen. We find that it's really easy. And these are the first kids that come out that say, no, You cannot control me. The reality is this. Your kid is right. Your strong-willed child is right. You cannot control a kid. You can't do it. Well, Trey, I threaten them with a spanking, or I tell them I'm going to take away, you know, I'm going to give them logical consequences if they don't get this done. It does not freaking matter. You do not control your child. You may try to scare them into making the choice that you want. You may try to incentivize them into making the choice that you want through bribery. All those kinds of things can lead a person to choose to do what you want. You cannot control that child. Well, what if I held a gun to their head and said, you better do this? You still don't control them. They can make the choice to say no and get shot. Guys, don't hold a gun to your kid's head, all right? If anybody goes off and says that that's what I said that you should do, you're wrong. No, I didn't. But what I'm saying here is you cannot control your kid, even at the threat of death. You might help them choose a point, you know, something because they want to live more than they want to choose to defy. But that's not obedience. That's not control. That's not control. That is pure and simply leveraging their choice by making the stakes more grave or more beneficial, depending on whether it's a reward or a consequence. But you cannot control yourself. There's only one person that you can control, and including power struggles, can only control you and your actions and your reactions. So when we can get to this point that we can see these strong-willed kiddos for what they are, they're just strong kids that don't take because I said so in any capacity. We can begin to realize that our strong-willed kids are not just being turds. Dr. Laura Markham, one of my personal favorites. I'm desperately going to try to get her on the show in 2015. If y'all haven't gone to read Dr. Markham, she blogs. And I'm going to go as far to say that she is the most phenomenal person that we have ever had on the who writes that I unequivocally agree with everything that she says. She's one of them. She is phenomenal and fantastic, and I'm desperately trying to get her onto this show again, probably here in 2015. We'll try to see if we can. But she wrote an article a while back and I think she conceptualized the concept of a strong-willed child into one sentence, the best I've ever seen. And it was in regards to this concept that kids, you know, when these kids, you know, push back, they're not just being defiant or turds. She and I say, and I quote Dr. Markham, literally, they feel that they are compromising their integrity if forced to submit to another's will. Listen to the beauty of that statement and this idea that we talk about here a lot, that idea of liberty and the freedom to choose so long as it doesn't encroach on other people. She's quoted, saying it again, literally they feel as though they are compromising their integrity if they are forced to submit to another's will. Wow. You see, in reality, what you're going to find is the Family Podcast Network here, Trey teaches, I teach how to take every one of our kids and make them strong-willed children, to make them those strong, independently thinking children. So, wait, you're training your children to be strong-willed? Yes, if you're hesitant to accept this idea that I'm saying, that we should teach every one of our kids to be strong-willed children, you still are not seeing strong-willed children for the right reason for what they are. They're not just that's my cute extra addition. They are the embodiment of what we want our kids to become. Now, that does not mean if we say we want them to be strong-willed children, that means that we want them to defy everything and be turd heads when they do it. We also want to teach compassion and kindness, thoughtfulness and caring, helpfulness. We want to teach them all of those wonderful characteristics as well, because when you take that strong-willed mentality and you filter it through those things that we just defined out there, you have one of the most liberty and freedom-loving people that you can ever imagine. Because they will question everything, but they'll do it in a way that says, no, I really want to hear what you have to say. Well, here's a fact. Oh, that's a fact. Okay. Tell me why. Why is that a fact? I mean, what's your backup in this? I want to believe you, but I need you to give me something more than that. That's what we want every one of our kids to become, right? Somebody who thinks for themselves. Somebody who doesn't just accept something because it is fed to them. They want to know how you back that up. And they feel that they are not honoring what they believe is the fundamentally right thing to do if they are forced to believe or to do or to act the way another person thinks that they should. You know, we talk a lot here about not raising kids that just obey us, obey. I've told the story, you know, a half dozen times now, but, you know, years ago I was in line with all my kids, and this was before I had my two foster kids. It was just the four of them, but they were all in line, and they were just doing what they normally do, and the old lady behind me, she scooted up, and she goes, "Man, you just have wonderfully obedient children." And I said, "No, ma'am, they are not obedient." And she looked at me with the most confused, facial expression, and I said, "I don't teach my kids to obey me. I just don't." I said, that scares me if a kid just obeys because somebody tells you to do it. That's scary. I said, what you're seeing is you're seeing kids that are thoughtful, kind, caring, and they're respectful. They're thoughtful of the people around them. They're mindful of themselves. That's what you're seeing. And that easily gets confused with obedience. But believe me in this. They do everything they do, not because they're afraid of what daddy's going to do if they don't obey. They do everything they're going to do because they know it to be the right thing. And listen here, they know why. That right there is the embodiment of a strong-willed child. It is also the embodiment for me in my family of everything we want my kids to become. There's a quote. I'm trying to remember who made that quote. Hang on, let me go look that quote up because that is just too good to not get it right. It was made by H.L. Mencken, I believe is how you pronounce his name. But he made a comment. He said, "Morality is doing what is right, no matter what you're told. Obedience is doing what you're told, no matter what is right." Let's read that again. Morality, right or wrong, is doing what is right, no matter what you're told. Obedience is doing what you're told, no matter what is right. You see, that's what we're talking about here. These strong-willed children come out of the womb with the best innate, almost genetically built-in template for the free-spirited person than anyone else in the world. And in a lot of ways, when we receive these kids, we should see them as the template to help all of our other kids grow into. Instead of seeing them as difficult or as stubborn or as a problem, we need to see them as the embodiment. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful kids. But here's the fundamental thing. It is tantamount that we do not break their spirit. You see, this is the approach that most parents take. It is the approach that I do firmly believe Dr. Dobson takes. Is this to break their spirit, right? We're doing it all for their good, right? Dr. Dobson, again, he said, by learning to yield to the loving authority. If you guys haven't read the book, 1982, I think it's called, 1983? Can't remember the name of it exactly. If y'all haven't read that book, you need to go read it. Because the reality is, the mentality that Big Brother takes in that book is one of the quote-unquote loving, benevolent Big Brother, who's really nothing more than a dictatorial, overly surveilled, you know, country that goes to war every time that it can. But the way that the propaganda predicts it or pushes it as this wonderful, just sweet, loving person who takes care of his people. Well, no, he doesn't. Right, so this is Dr. Dobson. By learning to yield to the loving Big Brother authority, my emphasis added, of his parents, a child learns to submit to the other forms of authority which will confront him later in his life. See what I'm saying? That's spirit breaking there. That is taking what is a God-given gift, the most wonderful thing that we could receive into our family, and turning it into a demonization. It is something that, yes, we may have to get more creative with than we've ever worked with before. That is okay. We have wonderful people like Dr. Laura Markham. We're going to read a little bit out of her recommendations on how to work with strong-willed children. We're going to go through some of those. We just have to get more creative with them. We have to keep from going crazy. We got to keep from turning it into the power struggle. And we're going to talk just a little bit about that because wonderful, wonderful Dr. Laura has created for us a 12-point list on what we can do when our kids are strong. So remember, first thing is, you got to reset your mentality on this. You can go through every single 12 of these, You can go through every single one of these, all 12 of them, and do them exactly right. But if you don't change your mentality of how you're seeing that kid, if you still see them as a problem, as an obstacle in your life that's making extra junk for you, none of these are going to work because you're doing it with the wrong motivation, and kids have inherent built-in crapdar, and they can tell when we're being fake. If they can't when they're younger, they figure it out as they're getting older. They can tell when we are giving them a load of BS. So it's important for us to be authentic, to not be disingenuous in the things that we say and do with our kids. All right, so without further ado, let's go ahead and get into this list. Again, these were over at ahaparenting.com, one of my absolute favorite authors that there is out there, Dr. Laura Markham. She says, number one, avoid power struggles by using routines and rules. You see, the idea behind this is when it comes to power struggles, if you are trying to assert your will on your kid, then it puts it in a position where you become the one to resist. If you put the resistance onto the rule, especially if you've allowed your kid to have a part in dictating what that rule is going to be, then you remove yourself as the Grim Reaper, as the enforcer of law, and you put it out there and say, listen, this is what you agreed to as well. What we want to do in that is to teach our kids to enforce their own laws. Remember, we want our kids to grow up knowing what is right, what is wrong, and when to do it and why to do it. And we can't do that if we are the long arm of that law. Number two, remember that strong-willed kids are experiential learners. We've had a lot of experiences with this one, but allowing kids to make mistakes is a great thing. If your kid is walking out the door and it is butt-flipping cold out there, and you tell them to put on a jacket and they don't want to do it, the answer to your problem is don't make them do it. Let them go. Let them go without a jacket. They're going to be cold. They're going to feel that experience, and as long as they can come home and you don't be a butthead about it, let them experience their own mistakes. They may come home and say, you know what, that was a bad idea. The next day they may take their jacket. Or they may find they really don't need a jacket. If not, well, what if they get sick? Then they might get sick. Again, that's a part of the experience of it. But you might be surprised. You might find that they really do find they don't have to have a jacket. But the last thing we want to do is turn it into a power struggle. Because now if it's a power struggle, it's more about resisting through, you know, by honoring their convictions. It's about resisting the person trying to make them do it. We don't want them to avoid the right decision solely because it's become a fight to us. So remember that they have to learn through experience. Number three, your strong-willed child wants mastery more than anything. These are the kids that you want to let have as many experience and more control over the things they are doing as quickly as possible, right? We want to turn over as many things to these kiddos as we can, whether it's brushing their own teeth, tying their own shoes, picking out their own clothes. These kids want to make their own choices, and we need to set them up to do that. As long as it's not life-threatening, as long as it's not something that could damage them in any kind of significant way, and by that I also do mean like reputationally damaging and those kinds of things, we should let them do it, and we should let them have the reins on those things. Don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean that that they're not going to have like brain farts or they're going to forget stuff. So they may get to that point where they forget, what am I supposed to do next? And you might need to walk them off. Okay, have you done this? Yep. Have you done this? Yep. Have you done this? Yep. So what do we do last thing before we leave? Oh, we do this. Ah, you got it. That's right. That's exactly right. And so getting kids to think is what you want to do instead of reminding them or telling them what they need to do. So remember, the idea behind all of this is that we want them to take responsibility early because they inherently want to take responsibility early. Give your strong-willed child choices. This is number four. This is a brilliant one. You want your kids to feel like they have as many choices as humanly possible. That doesn't mean that you've got to give them 30 options and confuse your little bitties. If you got a 4-year-old kid, a 3-year-old kid, a 2-year-old kid, and you're trying this choices thing, but they just get overwhelmed and they can't make a decision, that's okay. But instead of just coming in and saying, we're going to watch a movie, we're going to put The Croods on, it's one of our favorite household movies, then you come in and you give maybe your 2-year-old a couple of choices. Would you rather watch The Croods or would you rather watch Freebirds? Freebirds, right? And sometimes they may say, no, I want to watch, and they'll fill in the blank. In our household, we have a cute one where Charlotte, she's our 2-year-old, will be, you know, we'll say, what do you want? She says, Dad, I want to watch Bo. I want to watch Bo. Well, that doesn't make any sense. And no, that's not Bo on the go. What she's saying is we have our dog. Our dog's name is Bo. And right now, every dog is Bo. And that's a show called Courage the Cowardly Dog. And she flipping loves that show. So anyway, but so sometimes they'll just pick their shows, but giving them as many choices as possible is so good. If you're throwing out orders, you're going to set them on a defensive. We don't want to do that. But if they feel like they have choices, they can do it. So let's say toothbrushing has been a major problem, and we've just strong-willed that. We can't get through. We can't get them to do it. Give them choices. Say, hey, listen, you can either go ahead and brush your teeth now, or we can wait till after your bath, and then you can brush your teeth, right? So we're still asserting that we need the toothbrushing to be done because we don't want their teeth to rot out of their heads. However, they have the choice to choose when they're going to do it. That's a brilliant thing. And giving kids choices is one of, I think every kid should have this option. I think we should do that with every single kid and give them that autonomy to make these little bitty choices. However, give your strong-willed kids choices. Number five, give them authority over their own body. Now, we talked a little bit about this a minute ago, and Dr. Markham brings up the jacket phenomenon, but allowing your kids to be in charge of the things that they do with their body is absolutely valuable. Letting them pick their own clothes out. And now that's one that we can really get into a fuss about because they pick some goofy stuff. Don't get me wrong. If there's rules for their school, I recommend encouraging them to follow those rules because they're going to get kicked out or they're going to get, you know, behavioral points marked or, you know, some kind of thing like that that we don't want them to experience. They don't want either. And so, you know, we may want to push towards that, but let them pick those kinds of things out. Let them have the charge over those things. Number six, don't push them into opposing you. Remember, we talked earlier about the power struggles, right? And a lot of times, you know, there's certain ways that we can act that can invite people. So, you know, fundamentally, at the most basic level, we can't make anybody feel any way, you know, or act any way. So, like, you know, we come and say, well, you made me so angry. Well, that's actually a load of crap. Nobody can make you angry or make you upset or make you frustrated. They may do things that triggers anger in you. However, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's about them making you angry, which is a lie. That's a lie. Nobody makes you feel anything. But being honest about all this, it is possible to do things that invite reactions from us. And so if the kid knows that when they do a certain thing, it gets this reaction from us, they often do it because they're angry and they're upset with you and they need a really good reason to be really upset with you. So they do these certain things. Well, then that just pisses us off. So instead of solving it out, we turn it into the power struggle. So then we react to them in a certain way, and that makes them upset. And we sit there and invite each other to be more pissed off at each other, back and forth and back and forth and over and around we go. And it never stops, right? If we can get out of this downward little spiral that we take, we're on the road to allowing our little strong-willed kids to stop pushing back at us. You know, the problem about power struggles, it's a lot like pushing on each other. I did an exercise when I used to do parenting, you know, actual in groups with parents. What I would have the parents do that were with me, moms and dads, is they would face each other, and I would have them both put their hands out in front of them, palm facing the other person, and they would put their two hands together matching, and then I would say lean into each other. And they would lean and they would lean and they would lean and they would lean until they were just, you know, pushing into each other very hard. And I would say, what do you guys notice about what's going on here? You know, they would say the traditional statements, we're both pushing into each other. And I would ask them, I said, if y'all wanted this to stop, what would you have to do? And the answer is typically was we'd have to stop pushing back. You see, that's the way power struggles work, is they require resistance. If you want to stop fighting with your strong-willed child, you have to stop resisting them. Anyway, we can go into that forever and ever and ever. Let's keep moving. Number seven, sidestep power struggles by letting your child save face. Remember this, you do not have to be right all the time. Don't get me wrong. Whenever it comes down to it, you should be willing to have expectations for your kids and to enforce those things and to want them to act a certain way. But the reality is this, breaking your child, forcing them to see it your way, those kinds of things, this is not what we want for our kids. Nobody likes that in truthfulness. But forcing our kids to see it our way is not good. Let them save face. If they're wrong, that doesn't mean that you have to point out every reason that they're wrong. You can talk about that later. Doing it in front of a bunch of people can hurt your kid. But remember, they're still people, even when they're wrong. Even when they're wrong and they're pushing against us, they're still people. Number eight, listen to your kid. A lot of times we think that we have everything all squared away when it comes to parenting, but listen to them. Our kids will surprise us in their ability to understand and to comprehend certain things if we'll just shut up and listen to them. So just being quiet and letting your kid do things and not trying to bump up against them and to resist them at every turn is a great way to do that. It can be just simple things. Like if your kid is pushing against you, like taking the toothbrush example, and they're sitting there and they're not wanting to brush their teeth, say, hey, I mean, I'm noticing here that you're pushing against me about this toothbrush thing. I mean, tell me more about why you're not wanting to brush your teeth. and listen to what they have to say. They may have legitimate comments. They may say things like, well, that toothpaste really burns my mouth. They might have extra sensitive mouth compared to ours, and it really burns them worse. So we might need to look at not doing toothpaste or finding a toothpaste that's a little less robust in the flavors, right? Or they may say, every time I do that, it makes my gums hurt. We might need to back off on the softness of the toothbrush. Or they might just say that every night, you know, you let me have a little bit of orange juice and it tastes nasty. So we might switch up the order. But stopping to listen to our kids and not just assuming that everything that they do is about just purely resistance. Sometimes these kids have really excellent reasons for the way they do it. Number nine, I'm going to blend this one in just a little bit. See it from their point of view. It's a beautiful thing. Being able to put ourselves into somebody else's shoes and try to imagine what it feels like to be them is vital. And I mean vital. Is a very strategically chosen word here, because for kids, it is vital, because we may say things like, well, I used to be there, I was young once, I was your age once. The reality is it's been a long time. At least I hope it has been. If you have kids, I hope it's been a long time. But it's been a while, and we have to take that opportunity to try and remember what it felt like at that age, because it's amazing how many times I can chill myself out by saying, you know, really, when you think about it, that's pretty normal. That's pretty normal for a kid to do. And I could stave off a lot of craziness just by thinking those thoughts. Number 10, discipline through the relationship, never through punishment. See, this is a tough one right here for a lot of parents, because we like to discipline through our punishments, right? When our kids talk back to us and we have this, or they scream at somebody, we have this tendency to want to come in and shut that crap down, right? I mean, that's our mentality. But with these kids, that rarely ever works, because all that is you pushing up against the hands and they are ready to get to pushing back. Try not to make decisions about what you're going to do in those kinds of situations right in the moment. However, you can come back later and talk to them whenever, you know, after some of these emotions have kind of dissipated out. You can come back to them and you would be surprised at how quickly these kids will listen. When you're really there to help them grow, when you're coming back and you're not angry, you're not upset, you're not reactionary, and you come back and you talk to them later, these kids will listen to you better. That is not to say that they start making changes immediately. However, if you continue to practice these things, do the right things in these situations that they're having problems with, your little strong-willed kiddos are watching you. And then in almost all cases, they'll do what you do. They'll do the things that you're doing. They'll act the way that you are. And they'll talk the way you're talking. But it takes more relationship. You can't emphasize it on the I have power over you emphasis. You have to emphasize on the how much power are you ever willing to give me if I build relationship with you. Number 11, offer respect and empathy. See, this is a really good one. You got to realize your strong-willed kids desire respect more than the other kids. And so giving kids this dignity of respect is so valuable. Again, this is something you should be doing with – not a one of these is something that you shouldn't be doing with every one of these kids. These are all really good, but this is a great one. Treating kids with respect. You know, I've had a lot of parents over the years when I've worked with their kids. They're like, Trey, that little fart head won't listen to me. Why in the world, whenever you suggest something, they listen? It's fundamental. I'm not that amazing at what I do. I figured out this one little secret. Kids just want to be treated with respect. The same respect that we demand from them, they want from us. And when we can stop, that doesn't mean you treat them like adults, but you treat them with the same respect that we inherently give adults in this country. And when you give kids respect, they want to follow you. They want to do the things that you want to do when you consistently practice respect. And then the empathy piece of this is being able to put yourself in their shoes. So valuable. Because when we can really get in their shoes and we can stop seeing them through our eyes of this strong-willed, difficult, stubborn child, and we can get into their shoes and say, this is a strong child that does not want to yield to being told what to do unless they understand exactly why. It helps us understand their responses better and for us to respond better to them. And number 12, focus on the positives. We have a tendency in our household, to get stuck in the fear about what we don't want from our kids. We get stuck in this mentality of, I want you to quit screaming. I want you to quit storming across the house when baby's napping. And we get so locked into those things. And all that does is for a kid like this to say, all you ever think about is the stuff that I get wrong. And that's not what we want. We don't want them getting focused on that. We want to start looking at the things we do want them to do. Our foster kiddo, Sweet Tea, she comes from multiple houses now of places that all they ever did was tell them, you need to stop doing this. You need to quit doing that. It's not okay to do this. And so when we talk with her, we're like, okay, what should you do? Don't hit. Well, yeah, right. But what should you do instead? Don't hit Charlotte. Oh, that's also right. But what do we want you to do different? Don't hit. Okay, baby, the next time that she comes up and she tries to take your iPad out and she doesn't have your permission, what should you do? Don't hit. And so we're really having to retrain her to not focus on what she shouldn't do and to fill those vacuums with the things that we want her to do. And I'm telling you, there's not many people that don't respond better to this, but especially these kids, they do very well with this. So in summary today, guys, I want you to learn to see the strong-willed child, that super tough kid that you have in your home, not as a problem, not as an obstacle, not as something preventing you from being where you want to be. We need to start seeing them for what they are, the template for what all of our kids should become, and in a lot of ways, the person that we should be. We should be questioning everything. You should not take Trey's word at everything he says. Test it, take it up, look it, research it, practice it with your kids, and be ready to admit what doesn't work and what does. Never take your word of anybody just for what it is. Always go look stuff up. Resonate with things, and don't just follow it because mom and dad said this is the best way to do it, because you know your favorite fill-in-the-blank says to do it. We have to weigh these things out. But remember, these kids are some of the best places that we can learn this mentality. So be willing to open yourself up. Take a look at what these kids do. Help foster and direct that in the right way. And don't get into power struggles with these kids, because if you do, they will be tough opponents. All right, guys. Well, that's all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Don't forget, this Wednesday, we will not have our regularly recorded show. We will be taking a Christmas break to enjoy some time off. Jeff and I are going to try to put together a show sometime during the holiday week for us here before we start our Christmas plans up, so that way we can kick out a show for you guys this Friday that y'all can be listening to whenever y'all get out. So stay tuned and be listening for that. And if nothing else, hey, you guys have a great Christmas. Be safe out there, whether you're traveling or staying home. Take good care of yourself. Eat lots of wonderful stuff. Hope you guys enjoy your time with your family. If nothing else, we'll hopefully see you guys on Friday.